Folks, if you have your Bibles, open them again there at James chapter 1. It'll help you as we're working our way through that passage. Now, hopefully you'll have known so far in the weeks that we've spent in James that what's happened is that we've seen that God is the one who sends trials into our lives as Christians. If we thought that somebody at church house was deciding what the trials would be that would come to us, we would have serious questions. Whose wisdom is in sending this into my life or your life or the things that we see arriving in our church, brothers and sisters? You know, you think, we wouldn't pick the things. We wouldn't choose them. And yet what we're saying is, the Bible is saying is that God does. And yet in the middle of that, God gives the grace that we need each day to meet those trials. And in the middle of that, he grows you. He grows your faith, and you become looking more like Jesus as you go through those things and as you commit yourself to him and walk with him. Now, the second part of this book is starting here in verse 19 that we're going to look at. And what we're going to see is that real faith will be seen in what you do and how you behave. Real Christian growth and true Christian growth and maturity in the Christian life will be seen in your behaviour. You know, I when I go out and about, I'll get people saying to me, he says, does so-and-so go to your church? Or do you know that fella? This fella I work with, he claims to be a Christian and he does this, this, this and this. And he does the other and other and the other. And my simple reply is that don't go by what anybody tells you they are. Go by what you see and go by the fruit that's coming out of their life. You know, I could have a beautiful orange or an apple tree at the front here and I could say to you, look at the lovely oranges. Aren't they so juicy and lovely? And you say to me, but they're green there, it's an apple tree. And I can say, no, but I know the Latin name for this. This is a beautiful tree. See, I can tell you what I like. But at the end of the day, it's an apple tree. Or whatever way around I said that, I'm mixing myself up now. And an orange tree. The fact that what I'm trying to say to you is that you will know a tree by its fruit. And that's exactly what Jesus said. What hangs off your life will show who you are. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree, says Jesus, produces good fruit. So you look at whatever comes out of a person's mouth. You look at the behavior that comes out of a person's life. And that will show you whether that person truly is a Christian, regardless of what they say. And that's something I want to be very clear about. Some people think that Christianity is simply about the religion that you're born into. I'm born into a Christian home and therefore I am a Christian. Or they think it's some sort of mindset. Christianity is really about just how you think. And so what people think about, do they see you coming in here this morning? And what they think is you come in here and you listen to a little Bible-themed talk here this morning. And then you go back out into the world of work and into your home and you live exactly the same as everybody else. Only you look at things with a slight biblical tint. It's just what goes on in here. And therefore, every view is sort of valid because there's people coming from other religions and they're just looking at it with a tint in their head. They've got a tint of Islam or a tint of Hinduism or a tint of whatever it is, the direction that they're coming from. And they're all equally valid because it's all just in your mind. By the way, that's the sort of Christianity that nobody minds because it doesn't challenge anybody else and it really doesn't occupy any other space than the inside of your head. But James wants you to be really clear. True Christianity will be seen in true Christian lifestyle. Now, that leads me to a question. What is true Christian living? What does a true Christian lifestyle look like? What does it look like on a practical basis? Well, do you know, there was a fellow came along to ask Jesus a question one day. He was a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, and he said, listen, what does God really require of us? And Jesus said two things. He said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Love God and love everybody else. And so what he's saying in that is that true Christianity is about relationship. We're not into religion. We're into relationship. A relationship between you and God. And a relationship between you, it'll be seen in your relationship with everybody else. It'll be seen in your actions. It will be seen in your attitudes. Now we can sit down and we can start to talk about doctrine. We can talk about theology. We can talk about the difference between what a Protestant and a Catholic is. Talk about different types of baptism. We can talk about different versions of the Bible. We can talk about how often we celebrate communion and what we take from communion. We can talk about what the Bible says about abortion. We can talk about the Trinity. We can talk about what the Bible has to say on homosexuality. We can talk about all those things. But you can be deceived into thinking that holding right views on what God thinks as being a better Christian. So if I've got more right views, I'm more Christian, a better Christian than other people. And what I want to say to you today, it is important what you believe about what the Bible teaches. It is. Theology is important. But what I want to say to you also today is that true Christianity is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. True Christianity is about your relationship with Jesus. And it follows out of that, it will primarily be seen in your relationship with other people. That's how your Christianity will be seen, in the relationships that you have with other people and how you interact with them, in your behavior towards everyone else. Christianity is not about head knowledge and just doctrine. It is very practically based. And true Christianity is part of every interaction that you have with everybody else, no matter how mundane it is. Now, that being said, James wants you to see what he calls in there in verse 20, the righteous life that God desires. He wants you to see, what does a righteous life that God desires look like? And he starts off and he addresses all of us very affectionately in verse 19 as dear brothers. My dear brothers. He says, what I'm going to do, my dear brothers, is I'm going to use three practical contrasts to show you what this real Christian living looks like. And he starts there in verse 19. He contrasts the difference between hearing and speaking. Now, what I want to say to you is that listening is crucially important. Somebody told me a story one time about two fellas from Collibaki. They were both, you'll be understand this one. What happened was, the two boys from Collibaki are out shooting one day, and they're walking through the forest, Paddy and Mick, and there they are walking through. And next thing, one of them starts to clasp his chest. Mick clasps his chest, and his eyes rolling in his head. He falls to the ground. Massive heart attack. And Paddy's on the phone, and the operator can't understand what he's saying because he's talking in Collibaki. Hey, this boy's laying on the ground up here, and he's dead. And eventually, when she understood what was happening, she said, the fellow was dead. And the lady says, you need to listen very carefully. He says, we need to make sure that the man is actually dead. And she could hear the gun cocking and the gun going off. And he says, okay, we've done that. What next? He said, most of us by our nature are not good listeners. And the reason for that is because we assume that we know everything already. They say that Henry Ford, the maker of the Model T, lost out on millions of pounds because he wouldn't listen. He started making, he had a real mind for machinery and for even to set up the production line, that he could knock these things out really, really quickly. And he famously said, you can have a Model T Ford in any color as long as that color is black. People wanted it in different colours and he wouldn't listen. And he missed out on millions of pounds worth of trade. The competitors came in, started to make different coloured cars. And the fact is that we'll miss out so much in our relationship with God and with others because we think we know everything already. We miss out on what people are going to tell us because we assume already that that person, they're coming to tell us, we know it. We know what they're saying. We know already how that person's feeling before they even arrive with us. We know what that person's problem is before they come and speak to us. We know already, we've maybe decided in our mind before someone opens their mouth that what they're going to say is unimportant. What this fellow says to me is really not going to have anything important to say. Or what this fellow's going to say to me really isn't worth listening to. The secret to any good relationship is an ability and a determination to listen. Whether that's in your marriage, your workplace, your family life, or with your friends and your mates and your neighbours. We can shut our eyes and skip what the Bible has to say too. That happens to us as well. Sometimes people stop reading their Bible because they say, well, why would I read it every day? I have a fair idea what God wants anyway and what he has to say. And so what James is saying here is that good listening is the first step to living the righteous life that God wants you to live. Now, not only does he say that, but in verse 19, he doesn't say that you should listen just. Look what he says there in verse 19. He says that you should be quick to listen. And the bit that we're quick about is not listening. It's opening that. We're very quick to criticise people. Really quick to let everybody know what we're thinking about something and what our views are on it. Really quick to blame other people for whatever's gone on. Really quick to avoid taking responsibility for anything that we've done. Really quick to pass on a piece of lovely gossip that's so juicy. Really quick to shout and give off to other people. Do you know what we should be doing what should we be quick to do? We need to be quick to listen. And what should we be quick to listen? What should we be quick to listen to? Well, the pious answer to that is we should be really quick to listen to God's word. And that is true. We should be quick to listen to God's word. but not in this context. Look what he's saying. He says, quick to listen, slow to speak. Someone once said to me, there's a reason why God gave you two ears and only one mouth. It should be the ratio in which the things work. The righteous life that God desires should see us develop in a desire to listen to other people and to restrain what we actually say, restrain how we speak. And what will happen is, if that pattern starts to increase in our life of double listening and restrained speech, you'll start to see a real resolution in any problems that you're having relationally with other people. If there's increased listening and restrained speech, it would solve many of the problems there are in your workplace, in marriages, and in churches as well. I had a fellow came to see me last month, and he said, listen, if I had have actually listened to what my wife was telling me over the last 2 years, my marriage wouldn't be in the state it's in now. I would be getting to see my children. I'd be having a totally different life if I had listened. And increasing our desire to listen and restraining the amount we talk would drastically improve our communications with everybody. It would show real respect for other people. It would show humility in ourselves, and it would show increased wisdom in ourselves. In fact, it's been said that no worthwhile learning ever takes place when this is open and those doors are shut. And the truth is that that's a lifelong relationship that we need to be working on. We continually need to be working on that, being slow to speak and quick to listen. Slow to speak, quick to listen. And how are you going to repeat that to yourself this week? Slow to speak, quick to listen. The second contrast he makes for us there in living this righteous life that God desires is found in verses 19 and 20. And it's between our anger and God's righteousness. It would seem the more stressful life becomes, the more you see people venting their anger and shouting out. From children in the schoolyard, you will see fights every other week. Boys fighting away there, girls fighting, people arguing with each other. You'll see outbursts in work. I was heading into the hospital and the two porters were having a ding-dong from one floor to the other, shouting the whole length of the place. People road raging in their cars, shouting at one another. People shouting in shops and restaurants. Neighbours having a ding-dong over the fence. People complaining and shouting on the phone with that Indian fella that's trying to get you sorted out with your PPI or whatever it is that he's rang about, and you've no idea why they're ringing. And maybe you're just having a bad day. And if you doubt what I'm saying, go down to any football pitch. The length and breadth of Ireland, junior, senior, any match that we're just talking about beforehand. Children, parents, managers, coaches, referee, I know you, anger. Just flaring up, coming out. And I want to ask you, how many times over the last fortnight have you lost your temper? In the car, school, work, in the phone, where your frustration's just spilled out. Verse 19 says that you need to be slow to become angry. So often we'll lose the bap in just an instant. There it goes, it's away. And how often that happens will depend on your temperament. It'll depend on how much sleep you've been getting at night. It will depend on maybe sort of your personality trait. It'll maybe depend as well on how much pressure you're under at work. It'll maybe depend on how well things are going for you in life at that time, whether you've just come back from a holiday or whether you're really needing a holiday. All those things will be factored into that. But what I can say to you is that when you lose your temper, you will do and say things that you ultimately regret straight away. You'll say things and you think to yourself, that's not what I wanted to say. That's not what I meant. I don't mean that. I don't really think that about that person. And instantly there's the regret that we were talking about last week. And what it brings with that then is a need to repent. That we need to go back to God and say, God, listen, I'm sorry for that. And very often we need to go to other people and say, listen, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about what I said. The slower you are to become angry, the more measured and appropriate your response will be. Now, the Bible doesn't say don't be angry. Jesus was angry plenty of times. Jesus went into the temple and made a whip and battered folk and got them out of there, overturned tables because they made a house of prayer into a den of robbers. Jesus cracked up when we children were forbidden to come to see Jesus. Hit the roof at that. When he saw disabled people being denied healing simply because somebody wanted to adhere to a religious rule, Jesus went nuts. And the Bible doesn't say that you shouldn't be angry. You should be angry about a lot of things. You should be angry about abortion. You should be angry about abuse wherever you see it. So often we are not angry.
Oh, it's just the way society is. Who am I to say anything or do anything? That's not really my business. As a Christian, there are things you should be angry about. But the fact is, the things that you get angry about aren't those things. You get angry over selfish things that affect you, and next thing you blow a gasket, and it results in you having to come back to God again and say, listen, God, I've mucked it up again. The godly life that God desires is where you are quick to listen, slow to speech, and then slow to become angry. Then the third and the very final thing that he says there to bring contrast is between, and getting towards this righteous life that he desires, is to reject what is wrong and accept God's word as being right in humility. Now, if you ever get dirty, stinking clothes on you, I don't know of any work on farms, there's David as one. You come in and you've ended up, I remember my dad was shifting cattle one day with a fella, and the cattle hit the gate that he was standing by, and he went skiting up the yard. And he had a lovely white shirt. He'd just put a pair of overalls on. He was out working, but he got this white shirt and overalls. And he came in, and he was as brown and slurry. Now, let me say something to you. There's something wrong with you if you're happy just to go about your business for the rest of the day and say, listen, shirt's all right, a little dry out. And off you go, and now you're down the shops and everywhere else. If you're constantly going places and you're smelly, social services most likely will be wanting to talk to you, all right, or having something to do and input into your family. I'm not saying there's people that don't do that. There's people around you. You'll meet smelly people around the place. But that's not what God wants for you or anybody else. You get something on your shirt, your child nappy leaks, and you're out in the thing. The natural thing to say to yourself is, listen, I want out of this. I want this off. It's minging. And that is what the Bible says we should be doing as well for this righteous life, to want to take sin off and say, listen, this is stinking. I don't want this on me. I don't want this sin in my life anymore. I want to take it off. And what the Bible refers to that, look at verse 21. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Take the things off. And the Bible calls that repentance. There's an initial repentance when we come to a relationship with God and we say, listen, I can see that I'm wrong. I can see that I'm doing stuff that's wrong. I want to take it off. I want to get rid of it. And we come and say to God, listen, I want you to pay the price for my sin. I want you to take this away from me. But you know something? Repentance is a daily thing. Every day, as you come closer to God and you become closer to Him, you become more like God as you live in a relationship with Him. And you'll start to see things more the way God sees them. You'll start to see that the things that you do very often, the attitudes that you have, are wrong. And therefore, what you need to do is to daily repent and say, God, listen, I want you to change that. I want to take off this moral filth, and I want you to put on your righteousness. Daily turning to Him, daily asking Him to turn away. Now, James contrasts living a sinful life with something. Look at verse 21. With humbly accepting the word of God that's planted in you. You go outside and take your Bible out and start saying to people, listen, here's how God wants you to live. Here's God's standard. People say, clear off. I don't want to know about that. Your antiquated 2,000-year-old book. I don't need any of that rubbish in my life. And the fact is, because God's word is met with pride. And it happens too in religious circles. You'll get people who come from a religious background saying, listen, I don't need any of that. That they're saying, that God's word says that I'm not good enough to get to heaven, and I am. I go to church this morning, I give money to charity, and I'm very good. Humility, when it meets God's word, will see it working. Because what you do is you come in and you say, well, listen, God's word says that I fall short of His standard. I accept that. And therefore, I repent. And I turn to what God wants me to do. I take off the moral filth. I continue to walk closer to God and do that. And what happens in that God's word then is working in your life. When it's met with humility, it will do what it's meant to do. It will make you more into the image of God, as it says there at the bottom of it, which can save you, according to the bottom of verse 21. Just a practical level on that, can I say to you, if it's God's word that does its work in your life, can I say to you, you need to be reading it daily. Take time every day to read the Bible. And more importantly than reading it, take time to think about what you read. Say to yourself, what does it actually say to me? What does that actually mean for my life? Let it sink down and percolate through your day. Go back there at lunchtime, at dinner time, say, what did I read this morning? What was it actually saying to me? Think it through. And when you start to live a lifestyle of that, you will see God's word starting to change what's going on inside you.
making you more like him. So be slow to speak, be quick to listen. Be slow to anger and reject what's wrong. Take it off and humbly submit under God's word. And you'll start to see a righteous life that God desires. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word, and we pray that it'll do its work, Lord, in our lives as we let it, Lord, sit there, and Lord, as we meditate upon it. Father, we really do ask that you would help us to be people who are slow to speak, quick to listen, people who are slow to anger, and Father, people who reject what's wrong and turn to your word to find out what exactly it is that's right. Lord, apply this to our hearts and lives, and Father, more and more, Lord, as we live out our lives, there will be fruit there that show people that we belong to Jesus. Lord, fruit that will show us as attractive people, that will draw people, Lord, just to ask, listen, how can I get this for my life? How can I know that I belong to Jesus? How can I know that my sins are forgiven? How can I know that I'm going to heaven? And Father, we're thankful that all of that doesn't depend on us. It depends on you and, Father, your work in our lives. Father, we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.